brace yourselves, because you are about to hear the greatest sermon that you have ever heard. You have ever heard the greatest sermon that you ever will hear. This sermon is life-changing. It is powerful. It will make you think about things, think about your own life. I can say that confidently because the sermon that I'm about to give to you is not really my sermon at all. So before you think I just got this off the internet because I preached 2 weeks ago and didn't have time to get one, I will say that that is not true. I can say that this sermon is the greatest sermon that you will ever hear because this sermon comes from the Son of God. It comes from Jesus Christ himself. And I was thinking about something that I don't want to say I'm guilty of because I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing. Something that I find myself doing sometimes when I'm studying God's Word. And that's overcomplicating passages and verses. And sometimes I feel like I, and maybe you all are in the same boat that I am, I lose the power of simplicity. And one thing that I've kind of noticed, and as we've been talking about Jesus this year so far, Jesus, one of his biggest strengths, and one of the things that made his teaching so powerful, is how simple they were. And I think sometimes we want to study so deep that we overcomplicate the words of Christ. And while a deep study is necessary, and while I think God expects us to go in these deep studies of different passages, sometimes it's good to just take a step back. And it's been good for me as I've went over this over and over and over this week and contemplated it and read it and meditated on it. It's been very helpful for me just to look at the words of Christ and find the power in the simplicity of what he said. And so that's what I want to focus on this evening. For this sermon, I'm just really going to let Jesus' words be the power. I'm going to let Jesus' words be what you all are going to listen to this evening. And there's going to be minimal comments from me regarding what's going to be said. And so, once again, that's why I can say this is the greatest sermon you will ever hear, because it's the greatest sermon that I've ever heard as well. And it continues to be the greatest sermon that I've ever heard every time that I read it. Jesus' words were powerful in his day and time, and they are still powerful today. And like I said, they're simple, yet they're powerful, and they're effective. And once again, I think it's important that we just sometimes stop and we just read it and listen to what he says and just take it for what he said. And so this evening, I'm going to ask you, it's going to take me about 12 minutes. I know, that's not why it's the greatest sermon ever. But it's going to take me 12 minutes. I'm telling you that because I want you to focus for 12 minutes. That's all I want you to do. And so I'm going to say something that is a little unconventional, but I don't want you to look at me as I read this. And I want you to do something that helps you focus. And I'm going to say this, I'm trying to phrase it the best way I can, but maybe you don't want to look at your Bible as I'm reading this. Maybe you just want to close your eyes. Maybe you want to just look down at the floor. Maybe you just want to do something where your focus is on what's being read. So you're not flipping to another passage. I just want you to focus on what I'm going to read for the next 12 minutes. And so close your eyes, look at the floor. Please don't look at me. I don't want me to distract you as I read this. I don't want things that you're looking at maybe in your Bible or on your tablet to distract you. Focus for the next 12 minutes and let the simple words of Jesus be the power in the sermon. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the gentle, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great. For in the same way, they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You were the salt of the earth. But if the salt has become tasteless, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Do not think that I came to abolish the law or the prophets. I did not come to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter or stroke shall pass from the law until all is accomplished. Whoever then annuls one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever keeps and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say to you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. You have heard that the ancients were told, you shall not commit murder, and whoever commits murder shall be liable to the court. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother shall be guilty before the court. And whoever says to his brother, you good for nothing, shall be guilty before the Supreme Court. And whoever says, you fool, shall be guilty enough to go into the fiery hell. Therefore, if you are presenting your offering at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your offering there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and present your offering. Make friends quickly with your opponent at law while you are with him on the way, so that your opponent may not hand you over to the judge, and the judge to the officer, and you be thrown into prison. Truly I say to you, you will not come out of there until you have paid up the last cent. You have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye makes you stumble, tear it out and throw it from you. For it is better for you to lose one of the parts of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. If your right hand makes you stumble, cut it off and throw it from you. For it is better for you to lose one of the parts of your body than for your whole body to go into hell. It was said, whoever sends his wife away, let him give her a certificate of divorce. But I say to you that everyone who divorces his wife, except for the reason of unchastity, makes her commit adultery. And whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Again, you have heard that the ancients were told, you shall not make false vows, but shall fulfill your vows to the Lord. But I say to you, make no oath at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by the earth, for it is the footstool of his feet, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Nor shall you make an oath by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. But let your statement be yes, yes, or no, no. Anything beyond these is of evil. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist an evil person. But whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn the other to him also. If anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, let him have your coat also. Whoever forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2. Give to him who asks of you, and do not turn away from him who wants to borrow from you. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? If you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Therefore you are to be perfect, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Beware of practicing your righteousness before men to be noticed by them. Otherwise you have no reward with your Father who is in heaven. So when you give to the poor, do not sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogue and in the streets, so that they may be honored by men. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. But when you give to the poor, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving will be in secret. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. When you pray, you are not to be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners, so that they may be seen by men. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. But you, when you pray, go into your inner room, close your door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you are praying, do not use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do, for they suppose that they will be heard for their many words. So do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. Pray then in this way: Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive others for their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions. Whenever you fast, do not put on a gloomy face as the hypocrites do, for they neglect their appearance so that they will be noticed by men when they are fasting. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, so that your fasting will not be noticed by men, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in or steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. So then, if your eye is clear, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light that is in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. For this reason I say to you, do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? And who of you, by being worried, can add a single hour to his life? And why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all his glory clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you? You of little faith, do not worry then, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Do not judge so that you will not be judged. For in the way you judge, you will be judged, and by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, and behold, the log is in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. Do not give what is holy to dogs, and do not throw your pearls before swine, or they will trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be open. Or what man is there among you who, when his son asks for a loaf, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, he will not give him a snake, will he? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give what is good to those who ask him? In everything, therefore, treat people the same way you want them to treat you, for this is the law and the prophets. Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and there are many who enter through it. For the gate is small, and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are few who find it. Beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor figs from thistles, are they? So every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So then, you will know them by their fruits. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house. And yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rains fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. The words of Christ, just in their simple form, powerful 2,000 years ago, powerful to change lives, powerful to save souls. The words of Christ today, still just as powerful, still just as life-changing, still able to save souls. And so, after hearing this, how are we going to choose to respond to these powerful words? I think we should all assess ourselves and ask ourselves some questions going forward from what we've heard from this sermon. Am I glorifying God in all that I do? Am I treating others the way that I should be treating them? Am I showing others the love of Jesus and God? Am I striving to be perfect like God is perfect? Am I seeking the rewards of man or the rewards of God? Where are my treasures stored up? On earth or in heaven? Am I seeking God's kingdom and His righteousness first and foremost in my life? Am I praying to God as often as I should be? Am I doing the will of my Father, or am I simply giving lip service to Him? Am I building my house on the rock and acting on Christ's teachings, or am I building my house on the sand? See, if we can honestly say that we are doing these things, continue to do them. Continue to follow the words of Jesus, what we've just read. But if we assess ourselves and ask ourselves these questions and realize maybe in some of those categories we're coming up short, let's make the choice to respond to what Christ has told us to do, and let's make the choice to change. Make the choice to start living as Christ wants us to live. And so I want us to think about those things, meditate on what Christ, what we've read from the words of Christ, and if we need to make changes in our life, make changes where necessary. And so as we wrap up this lesson, if you would, please bow with me in a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, we come to you after reading the Sermon on the Mount that your Son gave to us. And we are first thankful and in awe of the power and the wisdom of Him, of Christ, and the power of His teachings and His words. And we pray that we will never let ourselves forget the power and the words of Christ. As we read through the Bible, we read what Christ has given to us in His teachings. We pray that we will always give them the power that they deserve. And as we teach others, we pray that we will use the words of Christ and try to bring them to Him. Father, we pray that we will take these words and live them out in our lives. We pray that as we treat others, we treat them the way that they should be treated. We pray that as we think about what we should be doing with your word, with Christ's word, that we will be acting on what has been said, not simply listening to them. We pray that we will come to you in prayer more often. We pray that we will make sure that we are communicating with you as we should be. Father, we pray that we will always be doing your will. We pray that we'll be striving to be more and more like you and your Son each and every day. And we pray that when those trials come, those storms hit in our life, that our foundation is on the solid rock. We pray that we will not have our foundation on sand. We will have it on rock so that when those storms come, that we can keep our house upright, and that we can come out of it stronger than what we started. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for Christ's words. Help us to always be living in a way that is pleasing to you. It's in his name we pray. Amen. And so, as we finish this lesson, I want you to turn our attention to the song that we're about to sing. If you would, open up your songbooks to the Song of Encouragement, number 412, The Solid Rock. You know, as Christ finishes out the Sermon on the Mount, he talks about, what are you going to do with his words? Are you going to just say, Lord, Lord? Are you going to do the will of God? Are you going to just hear the words and not do anything with them? Or are you going to act on them? Are you going to build your foundation on that solid rock? Can we sing this song this evening and truly mean what we're saying? Can we sing the chorus, on Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Are we building our house on the solid rock? If you are not this evening, I encourage you to make your life right with him. Whether that's to come to the front, confess of your sins, to ask for the prayers of the congregation, and we can pray with you and for you and build you up. Maybe you're just not a Christian. You're not a child of his. You haven't even started building that foundation. Don't let another evening go by without doing something about it. Let's make sure that we're all standing on the solid rock. Let's make sure that we're all listening to the words of Christ. And make sure that we're all doing what he has told us to do. If we can help you in any way, we ask that you'll please come forward as we stand and as we sing.